The manifestation of healing is a gift of grace by God. We don't deserve to be physically healed. We can't earn physical healing. We aren't awarded healing because of good behavior. It's all of grace. It's all of God's sovereign grace.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Thanks for joining us here on Abounding Grace. Today, our teacher, Ed Taylor, is going to continue our series through the book of 1 Corinthians. We're going to hear part 3 of Ed's message, The Manifestations of the Spirit, Gifts of Healing. God continues to work in each one of our lives, and He has given us the Holy Spirit in order to be a part of His ministry. He definitely doesn't need any of us, but has given us the privilege to be used for His glory. That's where the gifts of the Spirit come in. And today, we continue our look into the gift of healing. Before we join Ed, for those of you wanting to stay connected, be sure to download Calvary Aurora's app that's available free from the Android and iTunes app stores. With it, you'll be able to stay up to date on the latest events and listen to sermons on the go. It will give you access to daily devos, Abounding Grace radio archives, as well as Bible studies from Pastor Ed. It's also a great place to interact with each other through features like our prayer wall. You can also use this app in church to take notes. Just search for Calvary Aurora in your favorite app store and get connected today. Now, let's grab our Bibles and turn to the New Testament and join Pastor Ed as our spirits are lifted in God's abounding grace.
You get so hard. Oh, I know. You possibility of being taken advantage of and such is always there. But be open to the Spirit. That's what Peter's doing here. Guy's just asking for money. He's open. He could have put his hand in his robe and pulled out a few coins and threw it that way, but fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." Now the Spirit's moving. He gave him his attention, expecting to receive something, and Peter said, "Silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." Wow. The gifts of healing is going to manifest here along with the gift of faith in verse 7. Verse 7 is heavy duty. Took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Powerful. Word of knowledge. This guy had faith to be healed. Gifts of healing. There's healing here. And the gift of faith to pick him up. When all the while he could have just thrown a few coins out his way and just went into the temple to pray. He could have had a hard heart and just said, "Forget this. I've seen this guy week after week. I give him money every week. I'm not giving him anything anymore. Look at him after." Instead, he's just open. Are you open? You never know what God's going to do when you're open. You never know what God has in store for you. Just stay open. Say, "Oh, whatever, Lord. I belong to you, Jesus." Who knows? Maybe that's why you aren't seeing the Spirit of God move so much in your life, because you're not open. Well, notice chapter 5 now. We're in the book of Acts. This gifts of healing. Pick up in verse 12. Ananias and Sapphira, they experienced something. They experienced being slain in the Spirit. Literally. They didn't get up. Try to bring hypocrisy into the church. Peter, he's walking in the Spirit. He nails it. Why are you lying to the Holy Spirit? Why are you lying? And God just takes them both out. And that's a whole study in and of itself. Verse 12, through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of them, the rest, dared join them. The people esteemed them highly, Believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they, look at this, verse 15, they brought the sick out into the streets, laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. They were superstitious in the first century. They thought it was the shadow healing them of Peter. It was really God. God is moving in a mighty way. How do we know that? Verse 16, also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented, and they were all healed. That's a big word, that word, all. There was a massive move of the gifts of healing and brought healing to all that were brought there in to Jerusalem in this time period. Another one is in Acts chapter 28. Turn all the way back there with me. Acts chapter 28, verse 7. This manifestation of the gifts of healing. Pick up with me in verse 6. Well, actually, let's go from verse 1. Now, when they had escaped, this is Acts 28, they then found out that the island was called Malta, and the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. So when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow him to live." And so he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. However, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But after they had looked for a long time and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and saw that he was a god. So fickle, man. Now in that region there was an estate of the leading citizen of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. Paul went into him, prayed, and he laid his hands on him. And what does your Bible say? Healed him. Just happening through their lives. It would show up, this manifestation. The Spirit would come and there would be healing as he was sensitive to the Spirit. And now, when I talk about this, when I step back and I look at this gifting, it's easy to look today in our life and compare with the early church and what we see and experience and wonder, why does there seem to be, and I emphasize the word seem to be, why does there seem to be a lack of healing today like we see here? Why is there an appearance? I have to say, first of all, I don't believe God has stopped healing the sick. I know and believe that God heals today. I believe one of the main reasons why we don't see this type of activity is because of one simple word, skepticism. We are a very skeptic society. You know what that word means? We use it so much, I looked it up just to make sure I understood what it means. Here's what it means. A person inclined to question or doubt all accepted opinions. That's what a skeptic is, a person that's inclined to question. Let me rephrase that. A skeptic is a person that questions everything. Skeptics usually have on the back of their car, question authority. And they could even add another one for them if you want to make some money. I'll just give you the idea. Question authority and everything else. That's a skeptic. A person that denies rational thought. A person that denies the possibility of knowledge and truth. Where there's healing and it's just denied. It's true. God healed. But the skeptic denies it. Let me give you one example in Matthew chapter 13. Let me show you what this looks like in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 13. Jesus comes to his hometown. And the Bible describes that encounter of one as being rejected by his own. Matthew 13. Pick up with me in verse 53. Skepticism, it's rampant in our society. We've been burned so many times, we've just become skeptic. We don't believe stuff anymore. Somebody that we could trust, like majorly, we totally trust them. But because skepticism has snuck into our lives, into our hearts, we don't even trust what they say. We don't believe it. Listen, look at this. Matthew chapter 13, verse 53. Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished these parables that he departed from there, and when he had come to his own country, he taught them in the synagogue, and they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son?" Sounds a little skeptical, doesn't it? They see it, they hear it, they're astonished, and immediately they begin to question it. Isn't this the guy who grew up, the carpenter? Isn't he got a mom named Mary? His brothers, we know them, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. His sisters, aren't they all with us? Because we know, this is just a little side note, that Mary was not a perpetual virgin. She had other kids, raised a family. Here they all are by name. And so it says in verse 57, they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet's not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. And here's the key, verse 58. And he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. You can write next to that word unbelief, their skepticism. Because that's where unbelief came from. They were skeptic and it led to unbelief. And the reason why we aren't seeing miracles today could be traced to a general skepticism and a general unbelief. I assure you, as the Lord has opened doors for me to go on various short-term mission trips and be outside of the United States of America in other places around the world, like Egypt and Cairo, various parts of Mexico, around the world, they're not as skeptical of things as we are. They believe. For some, like our friends in Cairo, that's all they have is belief. There isn't anything else in their life to cloud away their trust in the Lord. They have nothing. And haven't you found that there are seasons in your life when that's all you have is faith, but then your hands start to fill up with so many other things? Before you know it, you have a lot more than trust in the Lord. You have unbelief and skepticism, where you begin to question the Lord. There are believers all around the world that are seeing the manifestation of these gifts of healings every day. We saw it ourselves when we went to Cairo the first time and a woman came up for prayer and we prayed for her womb because her womb wasn't producing children. We come back the next time, she hands us a baby and says, hey, thanks for praying. Through an interpreter, of course. Trusting in the Lord. Because God wanted a move on her life. And she believed God, and God sovereignly touched her. I know that as I was looking through these notes and just preparing, I've been praying for your skepticism and mine. It's not like you're a skeptic and I'm not. No, let's just pray for all of our skeptic thoughts. Always questioning stuff. Always having to have things explained to us. Always having to understand. That's the biggest one. You always have to understand everything. Well, what if God wants to do something that is beyond your understanding? Then what? Well, he's just going to have to explain it to me. No, he's not going to do that. He's going to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you can think or ask. Now, that's a beautiful, encouraging verse, but you know what it means? It means that God's going to do stuff beyond what you can think. The infinity of your mind, as far as your mind can go, God is ready to do something that is beyond that. I think of the beautiful promise of to the anxious one, to the worrier, where God says that he'll give you a peace that passes all understanding. And people will come to you and go, oh, why are you so, I don't know, I just trust the Lord. I know, but if I was in your shoes, I know, but you're not in my shoes. And if you were in my shoes, you'd probably have the same peace that passes all understanding that I have. And everybody wants to have you explain that peace, but all you can say is, I just trust God. You know, he's just told me to do it. And I'm cool with it. Well, I'm not cool with it. I don't know what to tell you. I just think it's from the Lord. And even if God leads me to fail, he's going to use a failure in my life. I trust him. Beyond understanding. That's beyond the realm of skepticism. Into the realm of the Spirit. A whole dynamic life to be lived not in the human realm, but in the spiritual realm. Why isn't everyone healed? We as a congregation have suffered great loss at the loss of beautiful saints. Just incredible people, part of our church. Serve their hearts out for Jesus, a great testimony in their sickness, hundreds if not thousands of people praying for them, and we lose them. That's what really mourning is, for those of you that deal with mourning. You know, mourning is the feelings that we have for our loss. That's what mourning is. It's very healthy, it's very normal, it's very important. not to hold and bottle everything in, but to allow it to flow. And a lot of mourning also comes from disappointment, because we really did trust God, we really did hope for healing, we really believe, and then the healing that God gave wasn't what we expected, so now we're disappointed, and sometimes that disappointment turns into anger, and then before you know it, it just stumbles us. I personally believe, as I read through the scriptures, that we as human beings were not designed to deal with death. It's not how God created us. And then through the fall, we all have to now deal with it. How sin entered into the picture. And now in the strength of the Lord, we can move forward. And in our church, we've seen many saints, men and women, graduate into heaven. And the question always comes up. I think it's a valid question. Why isn't everyone healed physically? I have to say, I don't know. It's one of those things, I bet you, if you kind of stand with me and we'd say something like, you know, if I was God, I'd heal everybody. I mean, that's normal. But we're not God. He knows what He's doing. The Bible says that in our lives, there are pre-appointed times and boundaries of our habitation. And when it's time to go home, it's time to go home. And I don't know why everyone's not healed. My heart's desire is I wish everyone was. But ultimately, in our loss and in our sorrow and in our pain, when the gifts of healing don't show up, when that manifestation doesn't show up, there are times instead of the manifestation of healings, then God gives the manifestation of faith to trust Him through the pain, to hold fast to Him. See, the church in Corinth had it all messed up. They were misusing the gifts. They were not really caring for each other. We'll see the rest of the chapter where they forgot that they were a body. They forgot that they were there for one another. They forgot that when one part of the body suffers, we all suffer. They had gotten off course, and God inspired Paul to write this letter to get them back on course. And now we have the benefit of getting on course ourselves. And the Holy Spirit is sovereign in the giving of these gifts and this manifestation. And I just tell you this, I don't really have the answer of the why isn't everyone healed? But I do know this with absolute certainty. God loves you. He sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. God understands what it means to lose someone. He understands your pain. He understands the feelings that you have. He comes alongside of you to comfort you. And that ultimately, when everything's sorted out before Jesus, you're going to see, and I'm going to see, the big picture of how God all worked all things together for the good. And I pray that God would send forth His manifestation of the gifts of healing among us, that God would bring healing, that He would use us greatly with one another. And I believe, according to John chapter 5, if there's any one of you sick, come to the elders of the church and let us anoint you with oil and pray for you. Here's what the Bible says. If anyone's among you suffering, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he'll be forgiven. And so as we wind our service down tonight, that's the opportunity. There'll be the pastors up here. The prayer team will be here. We have oil on either side that as a symbol, as an anointing of obedience to James 5, but also remember oil is always a picture, often a type of the Holy Spirit. And we're bringing it right back where the Holy Spirit brings forth these manifestations. And maybe even in the morning, maybe some of you are mourning tonight and you just need to come up and let somebody come alongside and pray with you. Just come on. Just let the Lord minister to you. So the worship team could come up. Maybe just you, Henry. Just you come up. We'll let the band, if maybe part of the band, maybe that's just from the Lord tonight. Maybe part of the band needs that prayer. And we'll just seek the Lord tonight and let the Lord minister to us. So Lord, we thank you for the beauty of your presence among us. This isn't the easiest of manifestations to look through and to understand. And as we settle our hearts before you, as we sing a meditative song, Lord, to receive from your Spirit, that we would see your Spirit. Spirit, we would sense your Spirit moving among us. Even right now in the realm of salvation. If you're here tonight, and tonight is the night you need to repent of your sins, then this is the time. Turn from your sins and turn your life to Jesus. Give yourself wholly over to Him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul. And if that's you, I want to invite you right where you're at. Just stand to your feet and tonight settle the spiritual healing in your life forever for right now. Here you are. And today's the day that God has brought that conviction of sin in your life. And now here you are. He wants to release you. He wants to forgive you. So if that's you, would you stand up? I want to pray with you. Because that's the first healing that God wants to do. God bless you. Who else? God bless you. Like the Lord is moving in you and you. You know who you are. That just God is moving right now. This is the spiritual healing. Right now. And those of you believers, just kind of look up and look around. Somebody standing next to you. Go over and lay hands on them. Put your hands on them and let's pray for them. And maybe more are going to stand. And you just come alongside and minister and let the Holy Spirit work. Cry out to God and ask Him to forgive you of your sins. Repent and turn your life away from the past. Turn your life toward Him. Give yourself over to Him. And those of you that are just pray. Just begin to seek the Lord. And we'll sing this song together. Just pray and seek the Lord as we wait upon the Lord. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Father, I pray you just use these verses to bring healing in the heart tonight. And I know that's your desire. Your desire is to do that. And for those that cried out to you today for salvation, Lord, I pray that in their turning from sin and their turning life to you, and then just somebody coming up in that tangible touch, just reminding them they're not alone, that here we are. They're ready to run with you, God, and we're going to be there to help them. For the mourning tonight, Lord, that you would minister to the mourning, to the sick, God. We pray for healing. Things that are going on in people's minds, you'd bring minds to clarity. You'd heal minds. You'd heal broken hearts. People that have been wronged. Somebody got a phone call today and it just crushed them. I pray you'd bring healing into their hearts. Their trust would be in you and not the person on the other side of the phone. And you would just manifest yourself among us, Lord. We trust you. We want, as we sang this song, that is our heart's desire. May we manifest, may we just express ourselves to you, God. We declare to you with our hearts, Lord, that we love you and care for you. And I pray you deliver us from religious repetition, ritual, and just bring us back to the broken basics of following you, living in your strength and your power, trusting you. Holding fast to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Ed Taylor with important instruction from the book of 1 Corinthians. Be with us tomorrow as we continue our series on the manifestations of the Spirit and learn about the working of miracles. We know that many times you're unable to tune into this daily broadcast. That's why we make available the message for you to listen to from our website or to order on an audio CD. If you'd like a copy of this three-part message, ask for CD number 4627. That's CD number 4627. We're suggesting a donation of $2 for each audio CD, which covers the cost of the materials and includes shipping. However, if you're into MP3 players, we'd like to offer an MP3 disc of the entire 1 Corinthians series free of charge. Again, this free disc is an MP3 disc, not an audio CD. If you'd like to place your order by phone, contact Abounding Grace toll-free at 877-30-GRACE. Again, it's 877-304-7223. If you've been ministered to through this daily radio program, we'd like to ask you to partner with us in spreading the good news that God loves us and has given us the gift of eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. In the book of Mark, Jesus commanded us to go out to all the world and preach the gospel. One of the ways we're trying to fulfill this great commission is through Abounding Grace. Why not consider joining us by becoming a Grace Partner? Your monthly financial gift will not only help us continue on this station, but will also give us the opportunity to reach out to other communities around this nation and across the world. If you'd like to be a monthly supporter, a Grace Partner, call us toll-free at 877-30-GRACE. Again, that's 877-304-7223. We pray that you've been blessed today, and we'll see you next time as you continue to walk in God's abounding grace.
This is amazing grace.
This program is presented by Calvary Chapel of Aurora.